Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Amazing. Amazing. Jed Allen, to the Hat Chat podcast, episode 109. Would you believe? You don't need to have seen all the 108 before this if you're just tuning in. Welcome. I'm Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
Hello, Ross.
I'm Alex Smith. Hello.
Hi,
Alex.
Hi there. Hello. 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 Hello to everyone.
It's nice to introduce us to each other finally.
Every
it's
time.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Yeah. 109. We should have done that
earlier on.
9 episodes ago, but here we are.
If you're fresh, I don't know why I'm doing like a reintroduction.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's probably good.
It's one of those things where if somebody just decides, oh, they do a podcast, I'll give a listen to their latest episode and see what dumb shit.
And then we go hardcore into politics.
Then we go harder,
and then talking about death and simulations and shit.
It's just everything's a contained episode in that sense. We don't really carry.
I mean, they're all bottle episodes.
They're all bottle episodes.
Put a podcast on shuffle.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it can be.
What?
Because we're not really current events kind of guys. Sometimes we do dwell in.
We laugh at current events and sometimes talk about like film and TV. Yeah.
So the main categories of what we do, we pose a hypothetical question, such as, what if you had feet for hands, hands for feet, which is really funny, and we should definitely talk about that.
Toe sucker.
Yeah.
That's voted on by our
patrons.
If
you bought a £20 kettle and it saved you £10 a year, how much is it going to save you off your £3,500 energy bill?
Very small amount.
That doesn't seem hypothetical. That seems like just something you're worrying about.
But
we do that for a bit. And then if there's a second really good hypothetical, we do that.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's sometimes funny news. Sometimes the world is stark and doesn't have any funny in it. But
it's always funny.
It's always funny to a degree. I guess it depends on your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Could be dark. Could be dark.
And your ability to disassociate.
Yeah. Because a lot of the funny news I come up with is sometimes quite dark.
Like
last week we covered the goat thing. Wasn't it really a funny news story? But the goat getting his balls caught by another goat is pretty rough. That's hot. That's horrible to hear.
But like
the guy also who woke up like smashing his own balls with an axe.
An axe? Was it cleaver?
Well, it was a knife.
He thought he was chopping meat.
It was a chopping knife. He thought he was cutting goat meat, but he was cutting his own meat.
Well, there you go.
Good start though. I mean, that was the end of the last one.
That was the end of the last.
We have carried on now.
Yeah.
108 is carried on into 109.
You can't shuffle anymore.
Fuck. Reason to go back though.
Well, let's split it up by doing a unique hypothetical just for this episode that we won't talk about ever again.
Well,
ever again.
No, okay. Never ever
this
again.
This is it. This is the episode for this specific subject. What is the most voted on by our Patreons, by the way.
Nice.
Thanks, Patreons.
Thanks, Patreons.
Patreon.com/halffilms.
Financially.
Yes.
Lifting us to the sky.
Yes.
And then we're on Golden Thrones.
I'm hoping we could commission at least 3 26 carat Golden Thrones.
That's pretty cool.
That would be nice. 26 carat as well. That's a particularly rare form of gold.
Yeah.
But two more.
Two more.
Wow.
27 actually. So it's 1 carat extra each.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what is...
Would it be comfortable, though? I don't think it would.
Did I tell you about... this is just a good anecdote.
Let's do it.
Sure.
Before the hypothetical.
So... You know that helicopter company you used to work at?
Yes.
In Yeovil.
Yes.
Yeah. They once made a helicopter for a Saudi prince.
Of course they did.
That had a solid gold shower in it. Right?
Shower?
A shower made of solid gold, right? Because they make bespoke private helicopters.
How big was the helicopter for it
big.
To have contained
be able to
a
lift
shower?
A shower. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, big, big,
but let
big.
Alone a gold shower. So yeah. Because weight is, I mean, helicopters are all about weight. You've 100%. Got to make sure it's perfectly balanced. Mm-hmm.
And so the Saudi prince came to visit, and he came in and looked at the shower, and it was a fixed head shower. So, you know, because not adjustable. He couldn't fit in the shower.
Why
so they
that?
Had to change the head because the head was too low, the
of
golden
course.
Head.
Right, a golden head.
So in order to meet the deadline, they went around B&Q around the corner and bought a different shower head, stuck it in the gold shower, sold it to him.
Really?
That's what the engineers did. They had to go
amazing.
Around to B&Q around the corner, yeah. buy an off-the-shelf £9 plastic shower head.
Just so it fits.
Just so they could
spray it gold at least.
Was it like later on like kind of adjustment or did you say that's it?
That's it, apparently. This solid gold shower.
They were happy with that.
At the last moment, they just botched it to get off the line. Well, they don't know. They delivered it and they hoped that they were just like, all right, well.
There you go.
Just every time I think of solid gold anything, I just think of that and I'm just like.
That seems to me like the amount of presentations I had to put together in PowerPoint to like present to the buyer, the consumer of like, these are the intricate details of your helicopter and like all the nuances and all the measurements and stuff that we've made recently. For them to fuck up his height.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah.
At the start, like, okay, it's all gold. We've really got to get this right, guys. Like, the height, he's got to be able to fit in it.
Though? That's so odd, isn't it?
It's
like, how can you ever anyone live like that? I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's a different world, obviously.
It is.
But, like, still. I'd like to have seen what that looks like. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm guessing like you could Google it. I mean, super yachts
like
and things like that.
It sounds like some sort of GT mod, doesn't it?
Yeah, solid gold. I mean, I imagine that they probably plated it. I can't imagine that they've made a solid gold like shower tray. I just feel like that would be so heavy.
No, it would just be plated, surely.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to rip it up and be like, oh,
hold on,
that wasn't but 5 inches
just,
deep.
But it's just so techy looking.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's just like,
money doesn't buy your taste.
No, when you like see these things covered in gold, it's like, oh, ugh. Mm-hmm. Looks just a bit techy.
Well, this is the other thing. So, furniture and things like that. A furniture place I went to recently that makes ultra bespoke, high quality stuff. We're talking tens of thousands of pounds for a table. Mm-hmm. More than that, hundreds of thousands of pounds for a table, right? But, and their main clients are Russian and Saudi and people like that. And they love...
Oligarchs.
They don't... You would have thought like, oh, they're going to be solid oak or something like that. You know, something made of like a whole tree or something like that, right? You know, something really like robust. Nope, their primary materials are laminates. So they laminate like base wood, so like MDF, right, so what's called inert wood. So wood that doesn't expand or warp over time is usually man-made because you can create it with things that are inert. But their main customers are always wanting laminates because they just like the look of it and they all just look so tacky. But like that's just taste and that's like culture that breeds that taste, I guess. But like it is, it's an interesting world.
Totally
a separate world.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, that's a little segue.
Nice. So let's get on to the hypotheticals.
What is it, Ross?
So the winning hypothetical here, which I believe is this one. It's option C, which is every time you go to bed, you wake up a week later. Discuss.
Oh my God. Are you older? Are you a week older?
This is like just a time travel kind of conundrum.
You fall asleep and you wake up and you check the calendar.
Everyone else has moved and like continued that week
every
without
time you.
You
sleep.
That'd
so you basically
awful.
Go into a week-long coma.
Yeah.
This would be awful. I mean, you'd never want to sleep. You'd be like, oh, come on, I lose a week. I'm going to lose a week.
Well, yeah, it would just be, you would try and stay awake as long as possible. Because, yeah, like you say.
There's a little to go on here.
Yeah.
So, like, does everyone do that? Like, are we weak sleepers now? So, does society change to accommodate that? The fact that we lose a whole week every time we go to sleep? And therefore, like, what, 50% of our life at the moment is spent sleeping. It would be more like 9/10. Oh,
yeah, so you
ridiculous, man. Yeah, like
you'd presume that. I mean, there'd be a couple of upsides, right? So it'd be, people wouldn't be traveling as much because you're down for a week. So things like emissions would reduce. The downsides would be, like you say, the
economy wouldn't run properly.
Well, it would scale down. It would scale down. Yeah,
you'd have to be like, well, I'm a Monday person. Oh, are you? I'm Tuesdays. Oh, that's why we never bumped into each other. Yeah, which is exactly why. You'd be a Monday.
Where's Eric?
Oh, you'd be named like you would like
coming to the end of
probably
week.
Become culturally part of your name.
Yeah, you're a day of
like
the week.
Ross Monday.
Ross Monday
Hornby. Oh, really? Mondays. Oh, nice.
I've had to shift to Tuesday. It's really messed me up.
Yeah.
I've had to push an extra day.
Yeah, I managed to stay awake to Tuesday and then shift my
cycle. There'd be a lot of like sleep drugs and stuff is like common.
everyone would be tired because they're just trying to stay. Like, I actually want to get more stuff done. I'm trying to live a longer life.
But also, there'll be no
living a shorter life. It's really not that much different, though, to like what we normally do and people who burn the candle at both ends there, though, is there? Like,
yeah, of course.
I mean, I think everything would change. Yeah, like the economy would scale down and manufacturing, everything would scale down. It'd be awful because if we only live the same amount of time, like Chot says, we'd be asleep for most of it.
Also, are you going to shit and piss the bed like when you're asleep?
I assume we've developed technology that you just plug in your dick into a tube and your butt into a tube.
Right.
And then you just
catheter up.
This sounds awful.
That sounds like a terrible, because every night.
It's normal for us, you know, in our weak sleep.
But it also reminds me of Severance, where obviously they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're split in two worlds.
Your mind is split.
And like, so there's this kind of, yeah, element of preparation every night. Like you say, you wouldn't want to go to bed and then have to put the poop tube in.
Well, there's other things to consider.
Yeah,
your food. You can't have fresh food because you put it in the fridge. You wake up a week later and it's all bad.
You'd be living on the day.
It's all frozen foods.
Shit.
That's a good point.
So is that 52
life
days
would be awful
a year?
Yeah,
of living.
Well, it depends how long you can stay awake.
That's the challenge.
Because are you a two-dayer?
Yeah. So people who have
can you do 2 days?
Fucked.
You're a Ross Monday Tuesday?
No.
I could try to.
And then you're a week. Every time you wake up, you're offsetting your week by a day.
It really depends on how much rest you got in that week. Because obviously, if we're
quite
basing
a lot,
quite a sizable amount.
In terms of if you feel rested enough to stay up longer,
yeah.
So maybe you could stay up almost 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then have your week, and then kind of live your life like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Would there be almost a perceptive, cognitive disassociation with what is living and what is dreaming?
I think it would probably lead into that, so. Yeah.
Considering the majority of your life is spent in a sleep state.
Are we going to presume that you naturally go into a week of sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because,
what's the longest you ever stayed up in real life? Like now, in this world?
Not many. Like 28 hours, probably?
Yeah, I've not done a crazy amount.
Weekend before?
No, not without. Like, I mean, I've not done the kind of drugs that could happen with. Yeah. And I think I could only do loads of drugs. Yeah.
Late night, all nighters, and then watching the sunrise and stuff. Mm. But then I crash hard and then sleep for a week and then wake up.
I guess in that case, sleeping for the week, you kind of can justify it because it's not just like, oh, I'm going to sleep for a week and then I've got to go to work again the day after. You can be like,
I think the only way to justify sleeping for a week is to stay awake for a week.
Yeah. But so I guess with the idea that you sleep for a week, what are the ramifications for waking up midweek?
Oh, Christ.
Like maybe there's an alternate state that you're in. Because I imagine if it was you have to sleep for a week, because everyone says you have to sleep for 8 hours or whatever, but it's just like no one,
well, it's like
not
when,
everyone does.
It's like when you wake up mid-cycle, like in regular sleep, and you need a piss, right? Yeah. You kind of shuffle some
Don't
toilet and like, and you sit down and try not to fall asleep on the toilet and then get back up again and go back to bed. Like, just that, just shuffling around. Just
a shuffling existence.
Yeah.
What if it's worse than that? It's like that state, you know, when you don't know if you're dreaming or not and you have dreams that are leaking into reality.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those?
Yeah.
Where you you see shit and your brain is working really weirdly. It's thinking things that just make absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you're still shuffling around in reality, just trying to piss.
Concepts and systems in your head of certain things and you're like, you wake up and it means nothing.
Yeah, and you're worrying about something.
Why was I concerned about something that was trying almost a production line of movements?
Yeah.
I was like, that wasn't actually anything.
Yeah,
that was nothing. That was just my dream state, just thinking you should be doing this.
We know very little, right, about dreams and what's actually happening still.
I certainly do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure, but
I'm sure some people know
can
some
we just
stuff.
Figure out? Now?
Well,
we can do.
The idea...
Fall asleep quickly.
Something that I do know is
Darren Brown me.
The chemistry of your brain is a little bit like the tides, right? Like they come in and go out, right? Like that's so when you go to sleep at night, certain neurotransmitters or hormones or chemicals
are released
and some are taken away. And then equally in the daytime, some are taken or recede. And then as you get progress through the day, they become more and more present. And that's what helps maintain your sleep cycle. That's all I know.
Didn't they say, not necessarily dreaming, but sleep repairs your brain, right? Or kind of
it's really important.
Serotonin and stuff.
Yeah,
is it quantum math? Is that what's going on, essentially, where your neurons are just finding new path of least resistant pathways and strengthening connections?
Well, it's different at different stages of your life as well, because as a baby, I know that, and as a child, that's true,
growing,
where you're building neural pathways.
But like you've got neuroplasticity in your brain, right? So it's always evolving and changing, but you've obviously got well-worn, well-reinforced neurons that are constantly reinforced through habit, I assume. And then there's other ones that are like, well, I've got a problem to solve. And in your dream state, you're kind of like forming new solutions to it.
Potentially, yeah.
And you wake up with the solution. Eureka!
Your subconscious processes. I mean, a lot of your stresses manifest in your dreams, don't they? Like, you know, you get, like, if you're particularly stressed, you're more likely to have nightmares. You know, as in, if you're... Your stresses and traumas can manifest in sleep. Like that does happen.
Didn't you wake up once saying that you've like kind of had an idea? You were like, you wrote it down. You had something.
Yeah,
you literally.
I've had that a few times where
I've never made sense of anything that's.
I've had that I dreamt about. It's mostly music for me, where I wake up with a full melody. That's like the whole song with all the different instruments. But like a tiny
segment. Voice memos of you singing.
I do have that.
That sounds like shit.
And I'm like in a sleep deprived state. Like
singing it like an idiot.
And then you like the rest of the day. Like
that sounded okay. I could probably tweak it, but no, that was just I was delirious.
But I think it's happened to a lot of musicians. I'm not a musician in that sense of Bob Dylan and all that. But apparently, it literally comes to people like that. Of like, I had a dream and I woke up and I wrote it. So,
if neurogenesis, the process of creating new neural pathways, is happening in sleep, then of course that would make sense. I mean, cool. I it's just not something I know enough about to really make any.
Why
kind
not
of,
though? Because I would like an answer.
I've had weird dreams after like having like shrooms or whatever. I woke up. The thing is, what was weird about it was it was like a system dream where it's like kind of I had to put a box on this spot, like constantly I had to keep putting it there, and then I woke up and I kind of was stressed out that I didn't put it back on, I wasn't doing that process. And then
it is strange.
In the journey back, my mate had the exact same similar dream where he was like touching a button and I had to like, I was like, that's so weird. Watch anything, like obviously we were both doing
where
shrooms.
Were you? Oh, you're on shrooms.
We kind of just blamed it on that, just kind of our overactive brains coming up with these patterns and kind of ideas and trying to sleep through that. And then
I've not done hallucinogenics, but I saw on Reddit today an AI generated video. Have you seen these where it starts with a video of something, but AI's filling in the gaps.
Okay.
So like sometimes the eye would shift to something else and then the mouth would shift to something and then there's like weird patterns and stuff. I can imagine that's similar to dropping acid and like you see patterns and stuff, and I'm wondering if AI is starting to actually visually recreate what it's like.
If it's filling in like distortion, there is a name for that, like a something warping, or like where there's an effect.
Google did it a while ago.
You splash like you take an image of something and it splashes into something else and it kind of warps and tears away.
Oh,
like
moshing.
Yeah, data moshing. And that effect looks so cool. I don't know how to emulate it, but
I know.
I would like to do that.
There's loads of apps for it.
Yeah, everyone want to make
all it does is it takes the keyframe.
Because musically, like tying that with music looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's basically like hacking the compression algorithm, essentially, and forcing a still frame and then moving about. Obviously in a real video you'd have all the different frames of moving to that video, but instead you're only updating it over
the
here
new frame.
And then the compression algorithm morphs it to that new frame.
It looks really interesting effect. There's like videos out there with like a shovel going to dirt and then the dirt like suddenly turns into like a cityscape and it's just
cool.
It's
obviously
cool
low res as well because that's hacking the compression algorithm, but stuff like that is like, I wonder if that affects our imagination in a way. Like when you start seeing something that's never been possible before, like this AI stuff. I know we're going back into AI again.
Well, it's a good point, actually. There was an article I saw yesterday, which I've saved here, because it covers what we were talking about how art and AI art is affecting...
artists. The downside.
Can affect artists. The downside of it. Where is it?
It's valid point.
Just whilst you're looking for this, you were talking about a second ago about how you think that... like AI or computers are working out how to create almost like a hallucinogenic effect.
Yeah, like a dreamlike state.
I think it'd be interesting to see whether or not tech could be used to understand what's going on brains, right?
It's like the next logical step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Elon's sort of doing? Well, this kind of mind control, isn't it?
The Neuralink.
With the pigs and the Neuralink stuff.
I think so. I think that what I'm saying is like...
controlling functions.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. What I'm more interested in is like how technological processes can be used to interpret what's going on in a human mind without actually being invasive into a human mind, right? Like, so you could see like, okay, so if programmers have created the same end result, what process did it take to get there, and how close is that process to the organic process that happens within the mind, and is that something you can use as a tool to understand it? Anyway, yeah, what are you going to show us?
So I'll read the headline. An AI generated artwork won first place at a state fair fine arts competition and artists are pissed, understandably. So someone they didn't hide this fact. They stated that it was
used
Midjourney, and they explained this is my art.
So it's more the judge's lack of understanding.
Well, I don't, perhaps, but he's explained here that he doesn't feel like he's done anything wrong. He's just used kind of a different brush, so to speak, which is kind of like a very,
I don't think that's true,
arsy way to kind of go about it. But essentially he said, well, I took the original, I used Photoshop to adjust it, and then I kind of put it in something which was like a giga. Where is this? Another application to make it look better, basically. But essentially, he used AI art, and he won a prize for
it. I feel like
everyone's saying it's a terrible thing, and the art community are like, well, that's outrageous, and it is in a way. Well, it feels like it is, but then his point is, it's a different tool of how.
Was it a digital art competition?
Yeah,
it was a digital art competition. So everybody else was using Photoshop then.
Essentially, yeah.
It's like a collage.
I think that makes it less
clear.
But
it makes you. But it becomes ambiguous, and essentially, I guess he said as well, it essentially creates. It will probably create a category.
Mm.
For AI art specifically, rather than meshing those two worlds, because there is a huge difference, I think, in my mind, especially in terms of like typing in a. He said he spent hundreds of images with this set of words and stuff that he's used to create it,
playing with it,
and then adjusting it later. But like, and in a way, sure, there is an artistry in that, in fine tuning your wording to create a specific image. But you have to agree that like, in terms of someone spending thousands of hours on an individual piece by hand,
it's difficult.
It's hard to say, because it's like,
I can see where the instant like heckles rising from an artist of like, you're literally just getting a computer to both pass all the images on the internet that are copywritten anyway into something which you consider new, right? Again, we don't all know the processes of how Midjourney works. Like, how does it generate the image? Does it do on a pixel-by-pixel basis? Does it take, like, a section of this, a section of that, and just kind of Photoshop it together? Does it use content-aware, like, AI algorithms? We don't know. I think that would change how we define, like...
I think also it kind of just gives you a starting point, which is,
it's a conceptual stage at the moment, right?
It is. I mean, I would be very much on the side of the digital artists who started from scratch, I think, I understand what they're saying in terms of like they refined it. They probably did a lot of processes through, Photoshop as well. But like, there's something about like, if I started with a AI image and didn't start with an AI image, the art that I would produce would be far better with the AI image, because I'm not very good at art. I'm not very good at digital painting. I'm not.
You could argue like all the tools digitally that we've had 10 years ago.
Yeah,
we wouldn't be able to create the digital assets that we can create nowadays.
True,
say, for example, give me a film and a reel and a pair of scissors and some sellotape and edit as well as I could on Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
Someone can edit on Premiere Pro because they've got access to that tool.
And adding effects. And
adding effects.
Manually do
like,
yourself.
Do they not get an award for film? I guess it's,
but
again,
then
the category.
Editing. That's editing. Like, if you also filmed what you're editing, because then that's different.
No,
because
again,
because
it's the
category,
right?
As an artist, you're starting from scratch artist.
Again, this is another controversial statement, but digital artists, are they taking source images from other people's photography and photoshopping
it? No, they're not. Well, hopefully not.
Well, this is the thing, like...
But is that
in this circumstance? I would presume they started with a blank canvas. That's the beginning of this art. In this circumstance, it would be a blank canvas. They would create something digitally using brushes, in a Photoshop app.
Yeah.
Like that's what I presume here. Mm. But no, I know what you mean. If it's like, you can start with basis.
But again, like reference imagery.
Yeah.
Like, where does that, where do you draw the line there? It's like you're taking other people's stock imagery, looking up other people's work in movies, films, and other products, and then either tracing it. Like, what's to say you can drag and drop it into Photoshop and literally go around the lines and then fill it in with content aware?
Yeah.
Like, where does offloading it onto a tool make it no longer art?
I think it's up to the people that run these competitions to set robust rule sets, and that's the only way to do it.
I mean, just quoting this person
essentially as well.
Well, this is it. He says, "What if we looked at it from the other extreme? What if an artist made a wildly difficult and complicated series of restraints in order to create a piece? Say they made their art while hanging upside down and being whipped while painting. Should this artist's work be evaluated differently than any other artist that created the same piece normally?" In quotations. I know what will become of this in the end. They're simply going to create a artificial intelligence art category for things like this.
Well, if anything, they've just succeeded in creating a discussion point, which I guess artists try to do.
I think it needs to be discussed, because the thing is, like, we've used this AI before, and it does create incredible imagery, and it wouldn't take much to touch those up to kind of like perfect them the way you want it to be.
Put a couple of eyes on that weird face.
And then that's kind of like, is that yours? Because somebody else hasn't done that before.
It's a very confusing,
but I mean, I just feel like, yeah, like this person states, it's almost a category of its own, and as long as you're honest. But the reality is, you can't be honest. If you see someone's winning a competition, there's prizes involved. Who the fuck, you know, anyone can get involved.
Again, like, you have to develop tools and stuff to either detect, like, it depends how important you value the outcome and like what it's being used for, right? So if it's just a product that you've commissioned and said, like, I would like an environmental piece, a landscape, do you care as the person purchasing it whether it's been made by an AI or if it's been bespoke made by a person? And do you value helping someone out financially or just getting an image quicker?
Exactly. And also, if people are entering competitions just for the money, like, what is that achieving for art? Like, as in, what is that competition achieving for art? If it is just like, oh, I whacked in a really good AI image because I saw there's a load of money for this thing, then really that's just like a money competition, isn't it? Yeah. Like, that's not really creating art for perhaps the broader...
the sake of art.
Yeah, the broader
pushing
purpose.
The boundaries.
Yeah, so, like, I mean...
The one thing I disagree with, and that's a downside of AI art, is generating imagery in the style of blah, 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 and then selling it, you know,
redistributing
it. It's like, I want this bot to pull all the imagery it knows of Van Gogh and generate me a new Van Gogh piece, please, and then utilizing that as like I made this. Yeah. I made this Van Gogh.
I
feel like... that you're literally hinging on the original artist there.
But the art world is strange because, like, anything is art, right? Anything. And, like, it's down to that. It's down to an individual to value that how they wish. If you knew somebody just typed in a sentence and created a piece of artwork, would you personally value that more than, you know, something that took thousands and thousands of hours?
It's always been this argument,
you might
right?
look at it and go, actually, I do think it's worth that much. And I guess it's down to that world that I'm not really...
Well, yeah, it's
of,
the
so.
Art yuppies. Yeah. The people that buy art because they want to probably make money out of it in the future or own something extremely expensive. I think once you're paying hundreds of thousands of pounds for a painting, you're a different kind of art.
Of course, yeah. It's a different
art benefiter, aren't you? Like,
it's going to be a select few that exploit AI to like win out over genuine artists.
Yeah.
But all it takes is a cultural shift to understand AI, to categorize it properly, and to know the difference between when it was made by a person and, no, this was AI generated, and therefore we understand where it came from and can value it as such. Do we care at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
Is this important?
Is it important for the end product and where it's going and who it's going to be seen by? If it's for an art installation that really focuses on human creation and human experience and knowledge, then someone spoofing an AI to like say, I'm the new Van Gogh. That would be...
I'm sure there's a lot of traditional artists who say the same about any kind of digital art, right? Like the fact that you can undo.
Dungeons and Randomness is putting on Theriathon 2024 this Saturday starting at noon EST on twitch.tv/DANDR. What's Theriathon, you might be asking yourself? That is a fantastic question. It's 12 straight hours of D&D featuring three of our groups back to back to back Every year has a different theme, and this year we've got something super special for you. Everyone wants to be an adventurer, but most folks simply don't have the skill for it, or they don't want to risk their lives. But the floating magic city of Umanyiro has the answer. High above it all, a small sect of mages have created something called Dreamscape, a way to implant fantastic adventuring memories into your brain without all that pesky risk of death. It almost always works perfectly fine, but recently there have been some anomalies. That's where you lovely people come in. You can help guide each group to safety in case of any, you know, glitches that may occur during their games. Hopefully, with your help, we'll get everyone back to safety and, you know, defeat any ancient evil that may be lurking in the magic that we use to implant memories into brains. See you all there Saturday at noon Eastern for 12 hours of Theriathon.
When you can't do that in, you know, that world, does it, it's just a different form, right?
It is a different form.
There's
a
level of respect there. It should probably be valued higher in terms of if you're buying art. You'd rather it be had more time put into it, right?
And if that's what you're looking for.
With no undoes. No undo art.
But then I guess you see the same with NFTs and like people valuing something that's, you know.
Oh, God.
Just a code on us.
I can't help but think that every single person pushing NFTs is literally just in it for the money.
Well, it's not in it for the art. That's for sure. Yeah, it's like, I think we did it on a podcast where I was doing the devil's advocate of like NFTs. Yeah. They could be really good for artists. Yeah. And like it goes directly into the artist's hands. Like they're earning money off of their pieces and people can mint their pieces for themselves. But yeah, it's just a load of people just trying to earn a quick buck off of a platform rather than caring about the art itself, which is unfortunate. And also it's really bad in terms of processing power. Mm. So,
but yeah, I just hope it doesn't deter people who want to create art and stuff and from trying and doing something that they are passionate about. Because when you see that stuff, like you can see how it might be like, well, what's the point? I'll create something with this digital art because that's how people are doing it now. And that's, you know, rather than spend, why would I spend thousands of hours when people are showing more respect to this? Perhaps, maybe. Depends on how you see
artistry. But it's entirely down
you're gonna
to
make
like,
art, you're going
to
make art.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Do you think competing with them, is that what your aim is?
Yeah,
that's
a good point. I think if you're going to make art, you're going to make art.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to say it. Yeah,
because it's good for your growth and your personal creativity.
Because you want to do it. The same reason some people want to pick up an instrument and play music. The same reason people want to do other things.
You can get a sample pack that can recreate the sound of a guitar very well.
Oh, yeah.
And then download a MIDI sample like thing that's like, okay, it's this part of Bon Jovi and it's the solo. Yeah, you can make a computer do that, but there's something about feeling personally satisfied with life by doing stuff yourself.
What if someone made a Hat Films AI creator and videos were made
of us?
Of us, but not by us. Someone's managed to make an algorithm and it's basically emulate, and it becomes more successful than us.
Well, pack your bags, boys. War's over.
Shit.
But again, like that's the one thing that I don't like about AI art is when they're using the source imagery of another artist and then forging that into a new Photoshop collage.
At
the expense of the artist. Like, they're not getting anything
for it.
AI version
of you is so much cooler.
There's existing rules that, I mean, this is going to happen eventually, let's be honest. Like, there's existing laws that, you know, handle using your
imitation.
Image and imitation, yeah. So, but I mean, you know, say in...
Even covers in music and stuff.
You see them in their very, very infant form. I suppose you could say stuff like holograms of Tupac is almost an example of this, where if we are 80... one day, like maybe we're not the best example of this, but there are, you know, mega stars out there who people will perhaps want to see in their heyday, then you could simulate with all of the data points of them in their heyday, a version of them, and you could experience that. And like I say, this isn't
that's probably already
outside
right?
the realms of possibility.
Hatsune Miku is already immortal.
Yeah.
And that's an entirely digital star.
Yeah.
Who, as long as they stay with the zeitgeist and are interesting, they could essentially be timeless.
We made a joke yesterday but obviously we were talking about that Avicii song or whatever, and then we were saying, obviously Avicii died, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But if he had a just anonymous mask, some producer or whatever behind the scenes could be like, well, we could just keep this brand in focus and just make more digital, you know,
music.
Productions.
Yeah.
Like, that's could be done.
I think so long as the original
Dead Mouse could live on,
agrees
after
to
the
it,
grave.
Right? Yeah. If that's their vision, to I want it to be beyond just me.
Yeah.
I want it to be a thing that flows through generations.
Yeah, and you've got to think people like Disney would be the first to do this kind of thing, right? Because they have certain stars.
Yeah, he's ahead in a
they pay
nitrogen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's still controlling it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, as in they literally manufacture stars. So, yeah, like, I use stars in a very cynical way. They manufacture people as products, and they could legally probably buy the rights to then simulate that person as well.
I imagine they would be signing on the dotted lines nowadays of signing away that right to posthumously use your likeness for advertising and for future products. I'm sure that's already happening. Like, I'm sure that, yeah.
Did you see that deep fake of Willem Dafoe on Julia Roberts's face?
I think I did.
In, I don't know what film it was, but like...
My Fair Lady?
I can't remember. No, something. But yeah, it was really funny. And it looked perfectly on her face. And it's just like, if that was in a proper film, I imagine, obviously, yeah, there'd be lawsuits of, like, you're using my likeness in the most direct way, and you're selling... That's the selling point, is Willem Dafoe on Julia Roberts' body. It was hilarious. But yeah, like, I imagine that's just going to get better and better in terms of easier to do, but whether that's, you know, used down the line. Obviously, they did it with Leia, didn't they? Was it Leia? Or was it the other bloke?
Carrie Fisher.
Star
Wars as well.
The original Princess Leia was a CGI recreation, I believe. Yeah. But in the TV shows, Luke Skywalker, the most recent Boba Fett, they did deepfakes for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the original one was CG with, like, lots of collage After Effects work. Yeah. But then they learned from, essentially, the YouTube community of, like, you can just deepfake and get a better result.
The Mandalorian you're talking about, right?
Boba Fett.
Was he in Boba Fett as well?
He was in Mandalorian, and that was, like, the old school, not old school, but, like, current Hollywood style of creating a face.
Right.
Which is still very good.
And there's another one in Boba Fett, right?
But the Boba Fett one was arguably easier to do. They hired, I think, the guy that does all those deepfakes online.
Oh, really?
As, like, an advisor or something to elevate it again and just be like, well, deepfakes are a lot more lifelike, they're not dead behind the eyes kind of thing.
But maybe that's a good career move for anyone in the future of like impersonations. If you can impersonate,
just be the body and the face,
some famous actor,
yeah,
you might be playing them in years to
come. Those guys on the Vegas strip or the Hollywood strip.
This is Andy Serkis's job you're describing.
This is Andy Serkis's job, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he's already done it.
But yeah, if you're good at impressions, maybe that's a job down the line.
Yeah.
I know they've done that for certain, like, Simpsons characters and stuff, where they've kind of replaced older actors and
changed their voices.
You would never
slightly.
Know because their voices sound identical. They've just made it themselves.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I think it's also that knowledge of, like, we are aware of what Luke Skywalker is. Like, Mark Hamill, we know his current age. And so we always have that broken suspension of disbelief of, like, knowing that it's not him.
The dead behind the eyes. That was weird, though, that particular image.
Yeah. It was. In Mandalorian, it wasn't very good,
yeah,
in my opinion. But apparently it's really good in Boba Fett, but I just couldn't get through that fucking series.
No, neither
series.
Could I. Neither
it was awful.
I haven't even tried Boba Fett.
It's not very good.
It's just really bad.
Yeah.
Apparently it gets better, but I just couldn't be asked to get through it.
No,
Obi-Wan I couldn't get through that.
I've watched the first episode of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of wasn't that
I
think we
more.
Just have to accept that it's not for us anymore, guys.
Maybe.
Star Wars is not being designed for people like us anymore, which is, you know, their choice. But it's sad.
There's other stuff.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Probably. Well, I haven't. That's out today.
It's out today.
You know, it was out today.
No spoilies.
I think it's the anniversary of Tolkien's death, which almost feels like almost a bad omen. not of his birth or like when he made Lord of the Rings, of his death.
Do you reckon the second Tolkien of September estate would allow them to recreate Tolkien's body as like one of the wizards in the show?
Probably not. I think, aren't they quite strict on like what they have?
Oh yeah, they're super strict. But it would be quite funny though.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah, well, for everybody else apart from the Tolkien family.
There he is, a Tolkien.
Reanimated my father.
Why do they make him Bombadil? Tom Bombadil.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll see.
We shall.
But yeah, I've not seen it yet. Anyway, do you want to do the next?
Let's do some funny news.
Let's do some funny news, okay.
Well, is there another hypothetical or not?
There is another hypothetical.
Is it a funny one?
It depends. Like, what do we feel like? Do we want? Is there good funny news this week?
There was... Hang on, what did I find here? Oh, this one I think you'll be interested in just because it wasn't the funny news necessarily, but it's just an interesting kind of discussion piece. Was about how 1 in 4 Gen Zers are planning to become social media influences, which I know you're obviously like, you have a lot to say about that, because it's just...
What's that?
So they did a survey. I don't know where the survey was. I mean, it could be quite a small one, but it says one in four Gen Zers plan to become social media influencers, obviously based off the fact that, you know, the biggest people you see have shitloads of money.
I'd like to know what they mean by that, because like, if you ask an average primary school kid what they want to be, it's usually something ridiculous, isn't it? You know, it's usually like
an astronaut.
Yeah.
Bah. You'll never be an astronaut.
No way. Your genetics are awful.
You passed out me spinning you around earlier.
Yeah. There's no way you can take the G's. I think I'd like to take it as that. And I'd also like to take it as, you know, this isn't like a concrete career plan kind of thing. I mean, because how easy is it to make career plans?
I think nowadays it equates to, I want to be a footballer.
Yeah.
But then it's like, who are you playing for? Because like, at the end of the day, you know, to be PewDiePie, that's, you know, the top also, of the league, like, level of kind of, you're not going to earn like that unless you're that level.
And everyone can be
just happen.
An influencer of a degree. Like, you can, we've all got the tech at home, so we don't all have like access to football pitches and stuff to like become a footballer, but we do mostly have tech to start streaming.
That's true.
So you could argue you're already a streamer, and you some will break through, some won't, and get a normal job and do this on the side or whatever.
So I was actually reading an article this morning about, so you know, Pokimane. There was quite a few articles about this now, that she's leaving. Well, she's not leaving, but she says she's not going to do anywhere near as much Twitch as she used to do, because, and she described it as this, and I sort of like, I didn't laugh. I was just like, she said that, like,
semi-laugh.
She says when she gets up in the morning, she doesn't want to rush to her PC and play games for 8 hours straight. And it's like, well, I doubt people would when you're like a multi-millionaire living in like probably an amazing place with all of this stuff going on.
If that's what you've done every day, it does become like, it's not
a chore.
Why wouldn't you go and do something else?
Everyone wants a bit of variety in their life.
And she's like a chief operating officer and a founder of like two different companies and all this sort of stuff. But something interesting came up in that, and only on Twitch, only 0.018% of creators make a living wage.
Oh, right, okay.
Less than 1% of all Twitch streamers make enough to live off what they make.
And thus are profiting, or at least breaking even on Twitch, right? As a platform.
What, no, as in, like, if you're a streamer...
That's what I mean, 0.018 are actually funding Twitch.
Well,
in terms of operating
potentially
costs.
Yeah.
Because I imagine everything else is at a loss,
it's
right?
It's too small.
Because it's all server space and streaming.
That's quite a lot.
That's really, really low.
I know.
I did not expect
that. No, me neither. And I saw it and I was just like, oh. But yeah, apparently it's very difficult. And that's basically why I thought of it, because it's very difficult for people to make a living doing it. And
I don't think we could either.
Yeah.
Like, if we were solely doing Twitch.
It was just,
we couldn't
do it.
That's the
thing, dipped our fingers in many pies, but obviously our YouTube conference, our Twitch, and then vice versa, and it kind of feeds into a business cycle that kind of does make it worthwhile. But obviously we need those other things to kind of make it worthwhile for all three of us.
We're a unique case where there's three people sharing a channel
at the same time. We are lucky enough to be considered successful, I guess, in that sense.
We are the 0.018%.
Fucking hell.
Like,
they're gonna eat us.
Jesus.
But I do understand it, like, it's because it's also a really hard thing, because, you know, you look at a lot of the successful streamers and things like that now, and a lot of the successful, and there are some really good streamers who, like, as an adult, I enjoy their content, and same with YouTubers. There's loads, probably more on YouTube really for me than Twitch, because like, there's just so much more of a breadth of content on YouTube that I still really enjoy. But, you know, I remember like screaming and laughing and being like that outrageous, like, twitchy personality more when I was younger, you know. And now I'm getting older, I'm like, I'm glad we do all the other things we do as well. You know, like that's much more fun and interesting. Like, I love playing games, and I still love games. I really do. I really do love computer games still. But I can see why some people may not find me as interesting or as exciting to watch, or at least younger people might not find me as interesting to watch as they would people who are like much younger and much more full of energy.
I don't
Like,
you as the age when you started doing this would watch you now.
Yeah. Well,
ultimately.
Yeah, perhaps. Like,
in reality, we started quite late.
We did start quite late.
22?
Yeah.
21, 22. That's quite late, really. When you consider the people kind of already being super successful, like 17, 18.
The platform was a babby, but we weren't.
Yeah, that's it. Because, I mean, monetization was kind of
non-existent.
Barely even a thing. So do you even consider it a job?
Yeah.
Was pretty much, yeah, non-existent at the time.
Yeah, we're just lucky, again, like most people, it's a sprinkle of luck and a sprinkle of...
But you can see the appeal of why people would want to have that as a job, though, as well.
Like, oh, absolutely. About, like, it's a great job. But, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's kind of a tough one to mature with, right? Like, as in, like, it's...
You get known for a thing.
I think it's important to look ahead. Because, we made this decision a while ago when we decided to move away from doing Minecraft. Because that was something that we were locked into for a bit, like, you know, several years.
It's what got us big, and we were
like, this is what's made us successful. Do we keep doing this until, like, we hate the game?
Yeah.
Or do we kind of, like, just try and do other things and...
Do it early, because we've seen other... We'd already seen, like, the... Not the effects, but we see everyone else, like, dedicate themselves to a thing.
Yeah.
And we could already feel that there's so much more we want to do that isn't just this, and we don't want to be known for just this anymore.
And in reality, that there is huge strength in just sticking with one thing, because you then become known as that person.
I think we would have peaked like a Yogscast-style catapult if we had stuck with it and not done anything else and just focused entirely on that, at our own mental health and detriment, sure, but we would have created probably some awesome stuff. Origins would have happened, and we would have, I reckon, also peaked and troughed hard. Mm. And
the thing,
we would always be like trying to reach back for like the views that we used to get when we did Minecraft in its heyday. And I think that would affect us way more than us spreading thinner and like not being as peaky and just be more consistent. Yeah.
I think we saw there was more value in being known as, I guess, in individual people rather than just like a character in a game.
Game agnostic.
Which... gave us a bit more options to, you know, fuck around with.
It's highly monetizable, isn't it?
Do vlogs and stuff, and it was highly monetizable
because like your three people latch onto characters so much more than the personalities behind them sometimes, unless that personality is super interesting.
Yeah,
which.
But I think we kind of realized longevity was a better option,
even though we thought YouTube was going to drop off every other
day.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
like,
who knows?
There's always that fear. We think even like 10 years later that we think, oh, YouTube, you know, or Twitch is on its way out.
So I didn't think we were, because I remember we weren't really sure if we'd do streaming as much as we do now. Obviously, then the pandemic hit, and I think we hit it a bit harder than we ever did before.
Yeah.
And it's been
a good
bounce.
It was like, oh, should we do a stream? You know, like it was like, it was old office,
the novelty.
Wasn't it? Like, we were like, we should do a stream for this one. Oh, okay.
And now it's become the norm. We kind of like managed to make that work into a workflow that seems to be. And there's good for us, at least.
We're very lucky with the audience we have that stay with us throughout all of our like slow transitional changes of us adapting content, trying something new every year. This year's our year. We're going to start doing this now, and then we start moving on to something else. So we appreciate the people that stick with us.
Particularly our Patreons.
Well, yeah,
everybody
stuck with us as well.
Yeah, Patreon.com
is incredible, because things like things you don't really kind of get to grips with is, one, how many people like walk through that door of Twitch, like that come through and say, oh, look, I've seen these guys, and you know,
views and impressions are super interesting to look at,
or just like people who know you from one specific video versus other things. And it's just like, when you've got like 10 years of content online,
FIFA 2 guys,
you haven't one person might have seen that one video and go, oh, that's where they're from, and that's it. And it's just like, that's kind of, you can't really get your head around that.
Russian roulette guys.
But in terms of this, like, if a kid came up to you and like asked you like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber. Like, what should I do? What do you reckon you would advise them? Or like, would you tell them like, don't fucking bother, mate? give it a go. Like, ultimately, I feel like if it's for you, you'd know if you started doing.
Am I going to be brutally honest with them?
Yes, you would.
What is the thing? And I think
you would.
To factor in,
you say that
another case that we have heard of before, where someone spent like 8 years of their life dedicated to this kind of thing, and it hasn't.
I imagine that happens.
I feel like, and that might happen a lot, where people kind of, you know, stick to it and think that one day it'll happen. But I feel like it still needs to be sustainable. I think that you need to have like goals.
Yeah.
So
I think that it can happen. As in, like, I still think that, you know, we could experience another quantum leap. And I also think that there are creators out there that do go for years and then can suddenly something can springboard
them. RT game.
Yeah.
Like, went for many years at a modest level, and then.
It can happen.
Thing,
I mean, it definitely can happen. But I do think that sometimes you can identify when people probably aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, when people, you know, it's a little bit like watching bloody X Factor or Pop Idol, right? You can kind of go like, you're not a music star.
Sure.
You're like, this isn't what you're good at. You may want to do this, but
but
you
keep
don't
it a hobby.
Have,
don't put everything into it. And just like, if you enjoy it,
I think that's the enjoy first it,
stream
the starting
stuff,
place.
Like stream your mates and stuff. Have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a career. Just because you can make money from something doesn't mean you have to make it a career, basically.
Yeah.
It's difficult because everyone's growing and evolving all the time. Like when we started, we are nowhere near as confident on camera and dynamic speaking as we are nowadays. It took the people literally watched us go from shit picky mics to what we're at now, which I think is more comfortable, but you know, whatever. I guess the only thing we'd say is it's so much more competitive now.
Yeah,
you don't get as much chance to just have the time to give us a chance to like get better and stick with us. It will get better because people could just be like, well, I know 10 other people that could be better than this. Like, this isn't good compared to everything else out there right now.
Yeah.
So
I think Twitch is a better option than YouTube, unless you're doing something factual. I think YouTube is great if you're the kind of person that can like teach or impart knowledge to people. I think that you have a much better chance of becoming successful there than, and on Twitch, if you're charismatic, I think you have a better chance to succeed on Twitch because that is much more about relationship building, I think, with your audience than YouTube is, because like, it is a direct communication. You know, you are live and that person can have a direct conversation with you. And I think charisma, you see a lot of streamers, medium-sized streamers that are charismatic people.
Agreed.
It is what I would say.
But the one thing I feel with Twitch is that I don't see that being a launch, because of the amount of time you have to spend on Twitch in general to like make it worthwhile.
I feel like you
have to have other things in it. Like, that's what I really love about YouTube. One, I just like having a packaged video. Like, there's something really satisfying about having
a start and an
edit.
End.
Like, this is the product. This is what you're going to watch, and you can watch that anytime. Like, that's always there. Whereas, what I like about Twitch is that it's a live event. Something crazy can happen. Something cool. Something can happen. Something eventful, and that's you watching that live, and it's like a sports event type thing.
I like those elements, but
I feel like as a streamer, I wouldn't know how to plan ahead if I just did Twitch. I think that'd be quite hard.
Yeah.
So like having these other avenues,
you follow trends,
YouTube
pretty hard,
and stuff,
I'm guessing.
I think is important to have, and
it's difficult. Like I would, I think the general advice, I don't know why we're advising people.
I don't know.
Now,
yeah. To the kids, if there are any kids,
for the one in four kids, the one
in four kids out there, do it. But don't let it consume your life.
Have fun with it. Just have fun with it. That's what I mean, that advice. Honestly, if you're enjoying it, just fucking get into it. And like, if you can be creative. Like, when we first started doing stuff, we were literally just fucking around with ideas.
Yeah.
And like laughing about it, having a fun in a game, and building the minds of Moria by hand. That wasn't even streamed. That was just off stream.
Yeah, we did that
5 a.m. Just digging in a mine, building the mines and more. I'm going to do the full fucking
I think I came on and had a look at that, and I was just like, you guys are fucking stupid. Like, you're never going to finish this.
But then me and you dug out this huge fucking ravine and just built like this whole railway system. And like, we just...
It was under sea, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was literally just before we started recording. We said, well, we can do some recording.
That was all survival, by the way, not creative.
That was all survival. Creative didn't exist then.
Fucking idiot. That was before the nether.
Yeah.
And I was looking at what you'd done, and I was like doing the math, and I was like, so how long has this taken?
How much does it take to... Okay, that takes
that did put me off.
Yeah.
And when you did the mass, you're like, oh,
I did a massive statue on top as well.
Yeah.
What was that? Yeah. A dragon.
Whereas now you can do that in a second.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Because the tools are available.
The tools are available.
Yeah.
That's true.
The voxel tools.
Oh, full circle. Callback.
Very nice. Mm. Oh, well, in which case, this has been a bumper episode again. Indeed. Oh, we like to ramble here.
It's, without the time, there's no time. Normally you have a timer up there.
We're at 50 minutes.
So that's what I do if I slept for a week.
Right. There we go.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
I dream of being a streamer.
Yay, one in four.
For a week long.
There's one in four that make it, but only 0.018 will monetize from
it. Yeah, yeah.
So just bear that in mind.
There might even be an extra zero in there as well. I think it might have been 0.0018%.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's tiny. Yeah. And Twitch isn't making any money either, the viewer or listener.
I also think a lot of people use it just for a little small group of their mates.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, let's all jump on streams and just like see.
It's quite fun, isn't it?
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice little platform.
But a lot of people use Discord for that now.
Yeah, Discord's great.
Just streaming it to your mates. Yeah. Anyway.
Right.
Different subject.
Yes.
thank you everyone for listening to this. I hope you're all having a great time making it as a influencer. And if not, I hope you're enjoying consuming our content as our attempt to be influencers, particularly to our Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/hatfilms. You get credits at the end of our YouTube video of this, which is available on YouTube, obviously. And you also get to pick out the hypotheticals every week. Wow, what a luxury.
As well as ad-free version. Right?
You get the ad-free version on Patreon.
Yep.
So if you're sick of ads on your podcast platform, maybe that's an option for you.
And we really pack them in.
We really just cram them in. You got to monetize that shit. Anyway, also thanks to Jed Allen for our Fingal. And if you have a musical inclination, you have a dream and you wake up with a melody and you're like, I want to send that to Hat Films and have that at the start of an episode, send it to our email, hatchat@hat-films.com. Or maybe some funny news you saw that week. Useful for us.
Is it? Yeah, it's nice to draw from there as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have funny news. It was kind of just more talking points, but still.
Yeah. But that's fine.
Mm.
All right. Well, we'll see you all in a week. It might be a day earlier next week.
Oh, that's true.
So just bear that in mind.
Oh, yeah, it will be. Yeah, it will be Thursday.
A day earlier.
And so probably earlier in the day as well.
Okay, yeah.
Excellent.
So that's really keeping you on your toes.
Keeping you on your toes. But we're informing you a week early.
A lot of guesswork.
And we'll see you all then. Until then, have a great week.
Yep.
And see you on Twitch, right? Yeah, sweet. Okay, cool.
Nice.
See you there.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.